Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. It's good to be with everyone on this Monday morning, June 11th, 2018. Hours away, the President of the United States will be meeting with Kim Jong-un, the leader, the dictator over of North Korea. We'll see how that all goes. In the meantime, we just want to reach out to all of our friends globally around the world that are tuned into the Omega Radio Network. You're listening to The Watchman. I am Vincent Xavier. Good to be with everyone today. And I want to begin this Monday morning with something that is extremely vital, more vital than the president meeting with Kim Jong-un. It's more vital than that, okay? And so let's get into it. I'm going to go to the third epistle of John. The third epistle of John. We know that we have the Gospel of John, then we have 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. I want to begin today in 3 John, or the third epistle of John, as we know it. And I want to read and see if you get the major theme in this brief letter. It says in verse 1, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, even as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles, therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Now I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, receives us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither does he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and cast them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil has not seen God. Demetrius has good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true." All right. So what is the theme of 3 John? Obviously, it is the truth. And the truth will set us free. And we know that Jesus said that I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And we know that he sent the Holy Spirit of truth into our hearts to guide us and direct us through the maze of this world, this sin-sick world filled with deception and lies everywhere. Ladies and gentlemen, today it is imperative that we keep ourselves in the truth. And you know, as a saint of God living on planet Earth in the year 2018, that the world is getting darker and darker, and even though the light of Christ is growing brighter and brighter in many hearts around the world, remember the admonition that in the days of Lot, that his righteous soul was vexed every day by the filthy conduct of the wicked. And we have a greater righteousness, which means we're walking through this sin-sick atmosphere and this defiled and corrupt and depraved reality that's all around us because of the fall of man. And, ladies and gentlemen, we have a bigger issue that we need to talk about. Number one, for where we're going today, it is imperative that we know the truth. The truth. And remember how important that is, because in the last days, the whole world is deceived by the devil, which means that is a lie. He's the father of lies. The devil is lying to the whole world. And our minds must be on the truth. And we have access points of truth. Jesus is the truth. His word is true. The Spirit bears witness to the word of God, and the Spirit is true. And so if you want to stay in the truth of and know the truth about everything around us and about us, it's found in the word of God. The Bible has the Spirit of truth confirming its data in all of its reality, and Jesus's message of the truth, and from Genesis to Revelation, it's all truth because it's all God. This is God's report. This is God's word to the nations of the earth, to the planet that's been around from the beginning of time. And so we are looking for the source of all truth, and that source to us is the Bible. Therefore, we're going to look into the scriptures, and we're going to find the truth of where we are today. How many of you believe that truth is imperative in the days in which we live? Now, here's a problem. I want to go all the way back to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And I want to read just a few verses there. And I want to begin in verse 31. Matthew chapter 12, verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, this is the truth speaking now, this is Jesus. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now, Jesus says those words on the heels of a statement that we go all the way back to verse 25 in Matthew 12, 25, where Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided, and against himself, how shall then his kingdom stand? And Jesus said, and if I, by Beelzebub, which they accused him of, cast out devils, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Now, what is going on here is that they accused Jesus in verse 22, when Jesus cast out the devil, they accused Jesus in verse 24. Here's what it says. When the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow, Jesus, does not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. All right, so there was an accusation that the work of Christ was demonic. The work of Christ was demonic. Now, if we go back down to verse 31, What is blasphemy? What is blasphemy? And I've got a simple definition, but first of all, let's look at what the actual definition, because it says here, whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit. Now, blasphemy in the Greek is blasphemia, and that word means to slander, to vilify, to speak evil against or rail, to be injurious to, but it goes a little bit deeper, this blasphemy, where it's scurrilous and calumnious and all of that, impious, but it gets even deeper than that. And this is what I want to talk about just for a moment, because when one thinks about blasphemy, what does it mean to blaspheme the Holy Ghost? If you or I or anybody in this world blasphemes the Holy Spirit of God, there is no forgiveness in this world or the world to come. So it would be of interest to those of us who live on planet Earth to make sure we don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit, but and to speak against, to rail against, to be injurious to deny. It goes all the way down, and I want to read just a little bit of commentary, and then we'll try to put this into the thoughts that the Holy Spirit was actually giving as we're looking into this, okay? So, what is it in Matthew chapter 12 that Jesus is actually saying? And here is just a minor bit commentary, and I begin with these thoughts. Blasphemy against the Holy Ghost is denying that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. Because a person can be saved only through the Holy Spirit's work. To refuse to repent or even to acknowledge our sin is to refuse God's forgiveness. Now, sometimes believers worry that they have accidentally committed this unforgivable sin, but only those who have turned their backs on God and rejected all faith have any need to worry. So let me just put it this way. Okay, this is what I saw while I was doing a little study on this. Do you realize that our generation, since the 1950s, the 1960s, the 1970s, 80s, 90s, to where we are today, okay, just in a very short time in comparison to 6,000 years, right, of man's existence on planet Earth. Well, we are the generation of blasphemy, and let me explain how. Through television, which did not exist until the 1950s, right? And then even then, it was just a few things. And I mean, in 1960s with Gone with the Wind, 1950s, whenever it was, nobody used cursing. There was no sex. There was no evil, demonic wickedness that was coming out like we see today. All right. But the television, the boob tube, the idiot box was used by the devil to captivate the minds of the masses within our generation through a spirit of blasphemy. And what do I mean by that? The spirit of blasphemy that has come upon the minds of all the nations of the earth, okay, was a very purposed satanic, demonic work to tell the people within this generation that the way of Christ or the truth of the Holy Spirit was wrong. In other words, the Holy Spirit's job is to convince or to convict every person on planet Earth, and that's what it says in John 16, that every person on planet Earth should be convinced by the Holy Spirit that they are sinners and they need salvation because death sentence has already been written on their life. Now, we know that every man and woman was born into sin. We know that Romans chapter 5 tells us that condemnation passed upon all men, which is a sentence of death and damnation. So condemnation is on every human being. So the work of the Holy Spirit is to convince every human being that they have sinned against God, that they are sinners born in sin, and not only what they've actually sinned in, but they're born in sin with a death sentence on them of eternal separation and damnation. So the Holy Spirit's active work is to convince men that this is so and that they need to find the Savior, God's salvation, God's antidote to this problem, have the death sentence and condemnation eradicated from their soul and eternal life granted. So how important is it that the Holy Spirit, the only force in the universe, the only power in the universe that can convince men of their need of salvation, to convince men that they have sinned against God, their creator. So if the Holy Spirit is the only force in the universe that can convince men, well, to deny the Holy Spirit and to say, see, imagine someone you know, that the Holy Spirit is trying to convince them. He's laboring to convince them of their ill. And the conviction is there, but now comes the denial. And so the world goes on through television saying that evil is good, that darkness is light, that through all of the movies that murder is okay, lying is okay, sex is okay, adultery is okay, homosexuality is okay, abortion is okay, ridicule against the principles of God is okay. What is this? This is a spirit of blasphemy that has been accelerated within a generation, 50, 60 years of an end time reality. And prophets of God have known about this for years. And we're going to get into that in just a moment. But the people of this generation, the Holy Spirit saying, no, 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 this is wrong. This is wrong. This is wrong. But the blasphemy is saying, no, I don't want to hear that. I don't need Jesus to save my life. No, what I'm doing is okay. No, I reject the idea. I'm not going to receive your guilt trip and thinking that I'm a sinner on my way to hell. Keep your religion. So there's been a spirit of blasphemy actually working through the different mechanisms in the heart and mind of a generation to reject, to resist the power of God. Even in the church, when we stop listening to the Holy Spirit convincing us that what we're doing is wrong, the moment we stop listening, we are beginning to backslide and harden our hearts against God. And this once saved, always saved idea is not the truth. It is as long as we allow the Holy Spirit to convict us and convince us that our attitudes and our ways that are wrong, that we admit it and confess it. True saints of God, every time they recognize that their actions are not consistent, repent of it. And to get it right. And I dare say there are many men and women of God in the church today that are falling under the spirit of blasphemy. They're beginning to ignore their own unrighteous attitudes and their own unrighteous ways. And they're standing resolute that, well, even my obnoxious ways are okay. And yet the Holy Spirit's telling them, no, it's not. The Word of God is telling them, no, it's not. And so this is a very dangerous thing. So you put these two together. Truth is necessary, and the spirit of truth will convict us and convince us of what is right and what is wrong. And without truth or a denial or a resisting of the truth, we fall immediately into the lie and we are buried like one in an avalanche under the deception of the devil and that the world is already in. See, the unbelieving world is already buried under lies and deception. And the only thing that keeps the Christian man or woman above or outside of that burial ground is staying in the truth. Now, in the last days, many are going to fall away from the truth. Many are going to begin to capitulate to the attitude of the world. What they're missing is that anytime our attitudes are not consistent with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we're moving in the wrong direction. I mean, this is the number one imperative, and we have got to allow the Word of God to rebuke us. We have got to allow the Word of God to convince us. We have got to, and the Spirit and the Word work together. You see, if you read the Bible, you realize if you have a snotty attitude that that is not consistent with the gospel. You start getting into pride and self-righteousness or any one of these attitudes, this is not consistent with the Word of God. You're actually moving in the realm of danger. And if you do not allow the Holy Spirit to convince you that your ways or my ways are wrong, well, now we are on a dangerous track. And it could happen really fast. And before you know it, you're living in the delusion. You're in the deception because you've denied the Holy Spirit to convince you that the way you were going was wrong. Ladies and gentlemen, to me, this is razor's edge fear of God. I mean, this is where it all is at this moment because a spirit of deception and a spirit of blasphemy has been released into the earth like I don't think has ever been before, maybe in the days of Noah. But this is happening all over the world. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. And if the Holy Spirit cannot convince us, and we reject the Holy Spirit because we want to maintain our attitudes that are ungodly, woe to us. And it would have been better for us to never have known the truth than to know it and then fall away and begin to reject. At one time, we were very tender-hearted. The Holy Spirit convicted us, convinced us of our ways. We admitted it, confessed it. We got born again. We were forgiven. But later on in life, when the heart gets a little hard through the deceitfulness of sin, or, you know, it's different spirits begin to get around us, we begin to foster another attitude, and it's very dangerous. The Holy Spirit's saying, no, 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 no. And the Word of God is saying, no, 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 don't go that way. And if we're not willing to pay as close attention as we did in the early days, we could drift. We could drift into something that is not of God. So I would encourage all of God's children, every one of us, to examine our ways. And it's not to say that there aren't ungodly attitudes about us. We're all working out our salvation, but it's the willingness of the heart to yield to the reality and the convincing of the Holy Spirit to tell us so that we can confess that, dear God, have mercy on my soul. Forgive me. Help me to change this area of my life. But it's when we harden our hearts. See, I know people. I know them personally. That the Spirit of God at an early age convinced them, but they grew up in a world where blasphemy was running rampant, and they actually began to deny the work of the Holy Spirit. They will no longer allow the Holy Spirit to convince them that they are sinners because they're getting into philosophy, they're getting into, you know, different things, and they're living sinful lives saying it's okay. I know this to be a fact. I know this to be true. You probably know somebody that thinks they're fine, even though they live in a manner that the Bible would condemn. You see, it's the spirit of blasphemy, a rejection of the Holy Spirit. So if you want to pray for your loved ones, you want to pray for yourself, you want to pray for people that you know, bind the spirit of deception and bind the spirit of blasphemy and ask God, because the Holy Spirit can convince anybody, but even though one is convinced, blasphemy is to reject that convincing. And that's a decision of the heart. That's a decision of the will. Now, one of the things that I am most interested in, and it may seem a bit juvenile to some people listening to this broadcast right now, it may seem a bit juvenile, but it's a question that is being asked by nations. I mean, from Canada to South America, to the European community, in Africa. This question is being asked all over the world. It's being asked right here in the United States, and it's being asked within the church. And it's as though nobody's really able to make a sound decision. And the answer is yes and no. And so to the person that is seeking to know the truth, I believe this question has to be answered. And what is that question? And believe me when I tell you, other nations are asking this question about America as well. And the question that the world is asking, the whole world is asking this question, is America under judgment? Now, I was shocked to look at a video that somebody sent me of Alex Jones and some guests that he had on his program. They were in Hawaii, and this gentleman was ridiculing the idea that America's not under judgment, and people that say that America's under judgment. Huh? Meanwhile, on the island next to them, there's a volcano destroying everything in its path. And I thought to myself, you know, this guy's saying we're not under judgment. Well, God judging the days of Lot and God judging it, but we're not that. And I'm thinking, we're the nation that has passed laws to allow homosexuality and lesbianism and marriage and sodomy. I mean, I really just shut it off and threw my phone away. I thought, my God, stop sending me this ridiculous stuff. The question is, and I want to get into it, is America under judgment, yes or no? I want to share an article with you that I found. And again, you know, let's take a look. In a sermon delivered in 1989 at Times Square Church in New York City, Pastor Dave Wilkerson electrified his audience with the proclamation that America has passed the point of no return in its rebellion against God and has thus been destined by God for final judgment. And he began the sermon with the following words: America is dying. The country's wound is incurable. It is now in the final throes of a terminal disease. The great empire is crumbling. Those were Pastor David Wilkerson's words. Now, for people that don't know who Pastor Dave Wilkerson is, he was a godly man that went to New York City and started a church within that blasphemous, corrupt city. He and Nikki Cruz had an encounter. He wrote a book, The Cross and the Switchblade. It just revolutionized what Pastor David did. But Pastor David became a humble man of God that was in the middle of the cesspool of New York City. And Pastor David was a praying man of God, an intercessor, started a ministry called Teen Challenge, feeding the hungry. He did a good works ministry throughout New York City. He was given a building, an old theater where his church was in Times Square. I've been to that church several times. I have met Pastor David Wilkerson backstage on a number of occasions. I have spoken to him. He's spoken to my life. And I know that Pastor David was a true man of God. And without knowing that Pastor David had said that America has crossed the point of no return, those were the exact same words that came into my spirit in 2003 when walking through a park, blowing a shofar, and God said, "Do not pray for America, this nation, anymore. America has crossed the point of no return. We've stepped over the line." So the same Holy Spirit in any vessel God wants to choose. And I want to continue because this is back in 1989. Now, in this article, they basically summarized the message that Pastor David preached. And here's what they said. The crucial points made by Wilkerson in this historic prophetic declaration were as follows. Number one, America is a sinful nation that is currently experiencing the judgment of God. Number two, God has raised up many prophetic voices to call America to repentance and to warn that continued rebellion will lead to doom. Now, if a true prophetic voice was raised up by the Lord, that means the Holy Spirit was trying to convince the nation through the prophets of its need to repent. Now, blasphemy would be to deny or reject that prophetic voice. Number three, America has refused to listen to these prophets. Instead, the nation has stiffened in its rebellion against God. That is blasphemy, ladies and gentlemen. Number four, the result is that America has passed the point of no return, the point of dread release, when God delivers a nation from judgment to destruction. And number five, thus the wrath of God is about to fall on this nation, most likely in the form of an economic collapse from which there will be no recovery. Now, ladies and gentlemen, those are the summarized points in Pastor David Wilkerson's message. And this article continues to talk about a mocking nation. It is an ominous message of truth that Americans, even Christians, will rebel against the Christian community. In other words, this message is going to be rejected by Christians and Americans. The Christian community will reject it because it has compromised its values with the world. It has wrapped itself in the flag of patriotism. And it has deceived itself with its Pollyanna gospel of health, wealth, and prosperity. When God sent the prophets to Israel and Judah, calling them to repentance, The people mocked the prophets. We are God's chosen people, they reminded the prophets. God will never allow our nation to be destroyed. And you could read that in Jeremiah 5, 12 and 13, Micah 3:11. Well, for the past 30 years, God has been raising up prophetic voices in America, voices like Dave Wilkerson, calling this country to repentance. We have reacted in the same manner as the ancient Israelites. We have mocked the prophets by arrogantly reminding them that we are a Christian nation. But the truth is that we are anything but a Christian nation. Our behavior as a nation makes a mockery of Christianity. We lead the world in every abomination known to man: abortion, alcoholism, drug addiction, gambling, divorce, child abuse, violent crime, pornography, and yes, even child pornography. Worse yet, we export our violence and immorality to other countries through our sleazy movies, television programs. We have become the moral polluter of planet Earth, and we are reaping what we have sown. The judgment of God is upon this nation. You read Deuteronomy 28, 15 to 48. The curses of a nation under judgment are listed there. The passage reads like a detailed description of American society, cities in chaos, youth in bondage, government in confusion, a foreign policy in retreat, rampant disease, epidemic divorce, agricultural calamity, and increasing foreign domination. Yet despite these judgments, we have refused to repent. In fact, we have stiffened in our rebellion against God. In our schools, we have abolished prayer, removed the Ten Commandments, banned the distribution of Bibles. We have terrorized our teachers into believing they will lose their jobs if they mention God to their students. We have even mandated the teaching of atheistic evolution and have prohibited the truth of creationism. We are in the process of legalizing and even encouraging sodomy, which has already been done. We are handing out condoms and needles to our youth. We are going out of our way to protect every expression of profanity and obscenity. Our state governments are encouraging immorality by promoting gambling in every conceivable form. And our artists are wallowing in blasphemy, using every form of artistic expression to mock and ridicule God. America is thumbing its nose at God. The Supreme Court is in rebellion against God. Our Congress is hardened against God. Our bureaucracy could care less about God. Our educational system has banned God. And so we are a nation facing wrath. The chilling thing about our behavior as a nation is that the Bible teaches that when a nation under judgment refuses to repent, it will ultimately reach a point where God will deliver it from judgment to wrath, from discipline to doom. The Bible further teaches that when this terrible point of dread release is reached, the nation cannot be saved even by the prayer of the righteous. Read Ezekiel 14, 12, and 20. I just read it to you last week. So I call this the Nahum principle because it is so clearly taught in the prophetic message that God gave to Nahum to deliver to Nineveh, the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Nahum pronounced that the nation's wounds had become incurable. Jeremiah used the same terminology when he later pronounced God's doom upon Judah. June doom. Nahum identifies the point of no return in chapter 1, verse 11. He says it occurs when a nation's apathy toward God or rebellion against God is transformed into war with God. In other words, it is one thing for a nation to ignore God and another for it to rebel against God. These actions will provoke the judgment of God. But when a nation goes to war with God, that nation beckons the wrath of God and thus seals its doom. Has America reached that point? Dave Wilkerson, God's Jeremiah for our time, says we have. I think Wilkerson is right on target. Ladies and gentlemen, there are many voices. Pastor David Wilkerson has passed away, but God has kept a voice consistent with that theology in the earth for men and women to start saying, because they're having a happy time of it, that America's not under judgment. I think you're going to be following a spirit of error. I think it's obvious that America's under judgment. Is again, as I said, these guys in Hawaii yesterday talking about God's not judging America on just the island across the way. Lava is destroying people's lives. America is under judgment. Well, I'm going to do something different today. I'm going to turn this over to Patricia Joy Xavier. She's going to continue the broadcast because we have some business to attend immediately. We cannot allow either one of us to go the full way. So if you'll hold on just 1 second, I'm going to ask Patricia to take the microphone and begin to speak into it. Patricia, good morning. God bless you. How are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm doing just fine. Thank you very much. And that was an incredible word of understanding where this nation has gone. But body of Christ is not just our nation. The nations all over the world are being deceived and brought into the wrath of God's hand. Now, you could call it judgment. You could call it wrath. Do what you will. But I know one thing. Judgment starts in the house of God. And the church itself is where the judgment is going to be first recognized, and not in a light way, but in a very severe way. If you wonder what's going on in the church and why there's so much division and why pastors in high places are being brought down into incredible immoral sin and wonder what is going on, what you're seeing is judgment that starts in the house of God. Why? Because we, the truth, it was not the desire of most ministers to speak gloom, June and gloom, if you want to use that terminology. But what it was desiring to do was lift up people, encourage people, which is right. But it never spoke of the other side, that if you were not being aware of your sinfulness, it was going to cost you a price, and Satan was going to use it and bring down the church of God. And he's been able to do that in this country. Few are preaching the truth. And I'm telling you, because of that reason, and that reason alone, because the issue of sin has been lightened, because everything is on the mode of the positive, but don't look at yourself deep within to see whether or not your soul has been vexed with demonic presence that you can't get rid of. In other words, you're lying, you're having sexual thoughts, you're being offended, and nothing seems to change that situation, no matter how much you hear the word of God from the minister that is at the pulpit. Again, this is not God's perfect will. And so we pay a price. And what is that price? Well, let me tell you this. I have never heard so much demonic oppression or seen so much demonic oppression within the church as I have seen recently. And I've been in the deliverance ministry for 40 years, and I have never seen it as it is today. What is the problem? Portals are being opened as lies are going forth to nourish the soul of Satan and his demonic presence. And they're attacking the church because we are the only ones standing against the lie. He is a liar, he is deceptive, and he's deceived the whole world. It has already happened. Even sorcery, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, that sorcery will deceive the whole world, and the whole world will receive it unto themselves. What does the word sorcery mean? It means in Greek, pharmakia. What does pharmakia mean? Pharmaceutical drugs. What kind of drugs are we talking about? The kind that numb the person down for pain, and the kind that lifts them up for a happy euphoria. But that is what is happening all over the world. Drugs in the medical field, drugs in the natural land, all things are happening in a way, in a realm where our children are being affected, not only in the United States of America, but in Europe, all over the world, but mostly here because we had the Word of God, we taught the Word of God, we were the powerhouse of the United States of America. What? Christians are the ones that made it the way it is because they believe God, and he blessed the United States of America. If you wonder why other nations were not, why they were in third world poverty, it's because they didn't receive the truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ. But now what do we have? Let's look at what we have. We have symptoms of demonic activity like we never have before. And often people say they are hearing voices. I've never come across that one. Or have thoughts in their head that they can't control. These thoughts are condemning. They're blasphemous and often calling the person self-harm or suicide. That's why we have so many people young people committing suicide. They have lost their way. They have nothing to stand on anymore. They're believing the lies from the school and those that are teaching regarding certain things that are not correct and not right. And the people feel tormented. And they listen to, if you listen to the people's story, their family tree is full of abuse, addiction, any form of witchcraft or occult activity and violence and mental hospitalizations and suicide and sexual sin. And pay attention to these things because that's what the people are dealing with. Sin is running rampant and it's going into one generation after another, and it's fulfilling its purpose in this generation as never before. There is no standard to stop it, no raised standard from the government to stop it, because they have issued a guarantee to the public that their sin of abortion, homosexuality, and other sins that they are committing, even murder and killing, is a lightweight thing. They do not pay a price anymore. They don't have to because it's been legalized. Here's the problem. We have to break the ground. And we have to help the person to break the ground. In Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, it says, "In your anger, do not sin and do not give the devil a foothold." Anger has taken hold of people's hearts. They're frustrated. They don't know what is right. They don't know what is wrong. They don't know what is true. They don't know what is untrue. They are calling black, white, white, black, good, evil, evil, good. This is the foothold of the devil, and it's driving people mad, and it's causing them anger. And when you continue in your anger, and you are angry, not in a righteous way against evil, but you're angry against everything, everybody, because of fear, and you're very distressed, and you pushed it down, but it's still there. That gives the devil a foothold. And a foothold has the same meanings as ground. And in the scripture, it's called foothold. It means you've given the devil ground with your anger. And your anger comes from the insecurity of not having a true nature of God. Sin still reigns. The most common form of ground is unconfessed sin. We are full of pride. We don't want to admit our part of sin. Few are able to do that. Those who have true humility can do so. If you don't have that true humility in your heart, ask God to come in and ask God to give you the humility, which is the fruit of the Spirit, necessary to confess your unconfessed sin, not only to Him, but to those that you have been unwilling to do so that are close to you. We have to bring all our sin into the light. Jesus's blood is greater than all our sin. But unconfessed sin remains unaffected by the superior blood of Jesus. Family secrets and curses can also create demonic ground. Now, we have discussed this. That's why I wrote my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. We discussed generational bloodline curses. We discussed the sin in which we have all been born into, called original sin. So family secrets and curses can also create demonic ground. For example, when someone is dedicated to anyone other than Jesus, that is a curse, and until the curse is broken, demons occupy territory. They have a right to it in the courtrooms of heaven because of unconfessed sin. That has to be broken. Now, what we have to do as deliverers is we have to try to break all the ground before we deal with demonic spirits. And this is the way to do it. Third, what you need to do is do a spiritual test. 1 John 4:3. I ask the Spirit to answer biblical questions. Did Jesus Christ come in the flesh? Is Jesus Christ the Lord? Do you honor the blood of the Lord Jesus? What is your purpose in this person? We're talking to devils now. The person will know the right answers to the questions. But when there's a demonic spirit and it's present, the person will hear wrong answers or see dark images or feel hatred and resistance. And when a negative response comes up, then that's the time to gather some key information. Get the information necessary to cast out the spirit. These are the key questions that you should learn to ask. You ask that demon, what is your name? Then ask it, do you have any ground to stay? Then do you have any spirits under your control? If so, how many? Do you have a leader within this person? Do you see any gates, windows, secrets, portals, curses, or access points that will allow you to return? Spirits out one grouping at a time. I hope you're writing this down. Maybe I'm going too fast. Demons come in definite structures, move from one leader to another and cast them out in their groups. They are called ruling spirits. I always simply command them to go where Jesus sends them, and that is to the dry place. If you have a spirit named anger and he has two spirits under him, cast those three out together. And if anger has a leader named rage, then I call him to attention and deal with that grouping. I keep going through the process until I come up with a clean test where all questions from step three or step two are answered correctly and all the spirits are gone. Now, they have to be answered correctly, and I have that information in my book. Demons are part of the biblical worldview, and Jesus did deliverance. It's in that name and faith in that name that the deliverer is able to cast out demons. And when someone has demonic spirits, no therapy or drugs will cure them. They need the power of God to set them free. If the church won't help, who will? You've got the power in the name of Jesus Christ, and you have the faith in that name to cast out the devils. That's all it takes. But it also takes knowledge of your own cleansing and well-being before you go by faith to cast out those demons. And if you're having trouble overcoming any sin issue, bind that spirit and go into fasting. And I tell you, it will work. It will work. Now, there are addictions we have to look at. And the most common addictive demon spirit is nicotine. And have you noticed a rise in nicotine lately? It's been there. I have noticed that more and more people are giving in to smoking. Then, of course, there's alcohol, which has always been a problem till this very day from the foundation of the earth. And that will bring in an active demon if it is alcoholism in your life. Various types of natural synthetic drugs, which is called sorcery in the Bible. And sorcery in the Bible is in the Greek translation in the New Testament called, now I forgot the name site. What? Okay, it'll come back. So-called medications, caffeine, and foods. Food is another very strong hold on an individual, and many people don't realize it. And it's also gambling. Pornography has taken hold terribly, terribly. And I tell you this, that caffeine isn't a lightweight. Because if you go to Stouffer's, I mean, not Stouffer's, but if you go to a coffee house, you have to know that they are brewing that coffee strong. And it is addictive. And you can get into more and more and more of it if you're not careful. And what will that do to you? It'll become an addiction, a strong addiction. And the acidic portion of that coffee can cause you trouble in your intestines. So coffee and foods, gluttony, eating sugars, which causes diabetes. If you destroy your body, you have every, God has every willingness to help you along, because you wouldn't listen to him. You wouldn't give him your heart and say, I'm overeating. I'm eating too much. I'm a gluttonous person. I have a demon. It is demonic. And what it does is it feeds your insecurities, and it makes it worse and worse and worse. You're under bondage. You're trying to be a Christian, and it's not working. You go through various means of sacrifices. You won't eat the wrong foods, and then you find yourself doing it again. Once things get difficult, once you're offended, you go right back, and it tells me something, that you never overcame the abuse. And it is abusive to be a gluttonous spirit. It is abusive, and it'll hurt you. It'll physically hurt your body and bring destruction. And then there's gambling. People are getting into it more. They need money. They're going to go into another addiction. If they do, and if it's in the bloodline, going to be dangerous, extremely dangerous. They'll pick up fast and furiously, because the demon is waiting. A familiar spirit is waiting at the door to come back in to your spirit, your soul, to come back in and to get you bound one more time. And there's pornography, which is running rampant in the day we're in. We have every situation available to us for pornography. I mean, you can even drive down the road and see things on billboards that are offensive, that are seductive. And you can go down the road and see that there are halls of depredation, of women dancing nude. And it's the big deal these days. And it's one after another going down the road, and nobody speaks against it. Nobody has a word to say against it. And this is bringing people worse and worse into the veil of pornography. And then your mind can't function as it used to anymore. In fact, I was told time and time again that it has the same effect as cocaine does on the brain cells, and literally makes a road in to the brain where it continues to move deeper and deeper and make that indentation until it has you totally captured. So physical infirmities come from all of this. Generational bloodline curses from your forefathers that have not been dealt with. Sickness and disease of cancer, diabetes, other diseases of gallbladder attacks, maybe mental illness. And it also could be sickness and disease of intestinal kinds of things going on with people today, because sin is mounting and the wages of sin is death. And death is the outcome of continual sin. And you may say, well, I don't look at pornography. I don't have these addictions. If you haven't overcome anger, you're addicted. You're addicted to the spirit of anger. If it is still in your being, your soul realm, you are addicted, and you are going to react the same way in the same manner. And then there's going to be great guilt that comes upon you. And when that guilt comes upon you, it's going to torment you, because fear will enter in and another spirit has had its way again. And fear brings torment according to the word of God. And then you are going to have a great spirit of guilt, which is the very spirit that we're born into, and guilt and shame, because we know we're not doing the right thing, but we will not confess it. We will not allow ourselves to be to overcome it. We are overcome by it. These are warnings. These are warnings. And these warnings are in my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. And then after we have been physically harmed through diseases and sicknesses afflicted by what the Bible calls infirmities in the Bible, the devil of any disease and sickness must be cast out. You need to pray for healing of the damage and the restoration to heal the body. So if you find yourself in this position, you must first confess your anger, confess your offenses, confess that you have been bound by a spirit of guilt and shame. I am warning you and showing you this is the way that must be done. And when that confession becomes a reality and truth to the Lord Jesus Christ, then the devil cannot come in with the sicknesses and diseases that he has an ability to give, because your body is not functioning properly. And it all starts in your sin nature. And he'll come in with that generational curse as fast as you can say hello. You know that your forefathers had dealt with it. Maybe it's a heart condition. And before you know it, you're getting pain in your heart. You're getting pain in your body. You can't understand it. You go to the doctor, and the doctor tells you you have this or this disease. And then the devil uses that very thing to cause you to continue on in fear until it has you. And the wages of sin is death. You see the combination. Do you see the trickery and deception of the evil one? Disease and sickness must be cast out if you find yourself in this position. And you must do it hurriedly. But you first must confess your sin. And then when you do it hurriedly to cast out these sicknesses and disease, either in yourself, your loved ones, or someone you're bringing through a deliverance, you pray for healing. You pray for the damage, and you ask for restoration to a healthy body. If you stand strong, if you believe it with all your heart, it will be. For faith in that name, Jesus Christ, will make you whole. Now, there are religious errors. There are objects or devices such as crystals and pyramids and idolatrous statues that attract devils. And you may have some in your home that wouldn't be helpful. And we're going to talk about these religious errors. We're going to be talking about these items that attract demonic presence. And I want you, please, to begin to understand that we are dealing with demonic presence, not only in the world, but in our own lives. Satan has now come to a place where he believes he is going to have a short time. So he is working diligently to bring down the church and the nations. Judgment has come into the house of God. And judgment is ready to have its full swing in all nations, not just the United States of America. I am Patricia Xavier, Vincent Xavier. If you have questions regarding what you've heard, you can email me at patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com. God bless you. I pray that you begin to truly understand the work of deliverance. It is essential for the times we're in. May God show you that this is his desire for your life and for the world.